This is North Carolina Public Radio, WUNC. I'm Phoebe Judge. The documentary film, The Hand That Feeds, follows the story of a group of restaurant employees in New York City fighting to obtain better working conditions, higher wages, and ultimately unionize. The film has its world premiere at the Full Frame Documentary Festival on Saturday. Robin Blotnick and Rachel Lears are the directors, and they join me now to talk about it. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks, Phoebe.
So this film really centers around one deli in New York City, Hot and Crusty. Describe what we're talking about. What is Hot and Crusty?
Hot and Crusty is a local chain here in New York. There are about 10 or 12 branches of the chain, all delis that serve pizza, bagels, salad, sandwiches. It's kind of a common type of restaurant here in the city. And this story actually took place just at one of them. They're all incorporated separately. They're franchises owned by overlapping groups of investors. And this story really concerned one in particular.
So what kind of working conditions are we talking about? At one point, we see a worker receiving an envelope of cash, his paycheck for the week, which is something like $290 for 60 hours of work, far below minimum wage. Rachel, what was going on at this Hot and Crusty?
Well, a lot of what was going on is really typical in low-wage industries, you know, for workers regardless of immigration status. Getting paid less than minimum wage and not getting paid overtime, all of which is glossed in legal language as wage theft. Verbal abuse and harassment from managers, a lot of long hours with no breaks. Often sick days are refused, certainly no paid sick days, dangerous broken equipment that that results in injury. And a lot of times when the workers complained, managers threatened to fire them or turn them over to immigration enforcement.
Robin, a big problem here is that so many of these workers are undocumented. And so there's this terrible fear of what might happen. And this whole system that's been set up, the Department of Labor, really doesn't apply because there's this great fear of what will happen if they report anything.
That's true. The fear is there. And the truth is, though, that federal labor protections do apply to any employee in the United States, regardless of their citizenship. So that's something that a lot of people aren't aware of, and the workers in our film became aware of that, and I think that gave them a lot of courage to try this very difficult struggle.
One of the central characters, a worker at Hot and Crusty, is Maoma Lopez. Will one of you describe who this man is?
Sure. Maoma is a person who, at the beginning of our film, you might not think twice about if you were making your sandwich at a shop. He's kind of shy. He's mild-mannered. He doesn't speak great English. He describes himself as not having any interest in politics. He didn't even realize Occupy Wall Street was happening in his city. Over the course of the film, we watch him transform into a real leader, somebody who can garner the support of the majority of workers in his shop. And by the end of the film, we see him engaging in these hardball negotiations with a business owner. We see him speaking before crowds of people, and it's very inspiring to watch him find this potential inside himself and this courage.
What ultimately did happen after the restaurant was converged upon and shut down?
Well, what happened was they started a picket line outside on the corner. And the first major action was to reach out to the community of the neighborhood by putting together what they called a worker justice cafe, where they got donated bagels and coffee and donuts and gave them away to neighborhood residents talking about what was happening there. They collected signatures, and they really received a lot of support from this very wealthy neighborhood. I mean, a lot of the people who live in that neighborhood were their regular customers, and these workers have been working at this location for, you know, 6, 8, 10 years. A lot of the neighbors had been getting their coffee from them every morning, and they had formed these relationships that that actually, when at the time of the closing, that the neighborhood really came in line supporting the workers. And after that, I mean, it did get harder because, you know, it was in the end, I think 55 days, almost 2 months on the picket line. There was at a certain point, a new group of investors came in and was willing to reopen the store. This group had no financial connection to the old owners, even though actually one of the old owners did facilitate the new group coming in. And so the workers had to negotiate a contract with this new group of investors. And that sort of prolonged their struggle in the picket line. A lot of them had to get other jobs in the process. And it was very difficult for them, but the ones that stuck it through were able to win this victory.
I also think that that point, the picket line, was actually the climax of our story. Things got really, really difficult, and that was a point where organizers who had been involved from the beginning turned on each other and almost fell apart. And that's a moment where Maoma actually ends up stepping in to really kind of take a new level of leadership.
And then we get to see these workers vote for their own union. What was it like to watch this whole process kind of culminate in this election, which would really potentially change things dramatically?
The election at the National Labor Relations Board was really exciting, and I think it was really cool to see a group of immigrant workers, many of whom did lack papers, sort of taking this step that they actually are becoming American in this really unique way by engaging with this institution that gives them that actually does allow them to make these changes in their workplace.
It's sort of a twist on the American dream, scrappy immigrants lifting themselves up, but they're not doing it just as individuals through like an entrepreneurial kind of thing. They're doing it collectively through the labor movement, which is also a longstanding American tradition.
And what ultimately happened?
In the end, the most important thing for Maoma and his coworkers was dignity. The negotiations ultimately didn't hinge as much on wages. The raises that they got were very slight, but they were very interested in mechanisms to give them more power and voice in their jobs. And it's really about bringing democracy to the workplace. And that's something that often gets lost in conversations about labor disputes, but I think it's one of the most important things that happens through this type of organizing. And so you have that on the one hand. And on the other hand, you have the fact that real change means building solidarity and collective strength across social and cultural divides.
Do you ever go to the Hot and Crusty that you spend
Sure.
so much time at?
We do. And when we go, we hear updates on how things are going in their ongoing negotiations with the management. The story's not over for them. This is just the beginning of a new way of relating to their bosses.
The food's really good.
Well, it's a wonderful film. Thank you so much for being here, both of you.
Thank you so much, Phoebe.
Thanks so much for having us.
Robin Blotnick and Rachel Lears are the directors of the documentary film The Hand That Feeds. The film will have its world premiere at Full Frame on Saturday. You can find out more information on our website, wunc.org. I'm Phoebe Judge, and this is North Carolina Public Radio, WUNC.